Welcome to the Global Investor Podcast, a show that focuses on helping foreign investors enter the lucrative U.S. real estate market. Host Charles Carrillo combines decades of real estate investing experience with a professional background in international banking to interview experts in all areas of U.S. real estate investing. Now, here's your host, Charles Carrillo.
Welcome to another episode of the Global Investors Podcast. I'm your host, Charles Carrillo. Today we have John Dwoskin. He is a business coach, author, and speaker specializing in helping business owners enhance, improve, increase, and evolve their businesses and end themselves by leading owners away from their comfort zone and into major growth by recognizing factors limiting their business growth potential. Now, previously, he was a vice president of investments with Marcus Millchap, specializing in negotiating the sale of multifamily investment properties. And after selling nearly 5,000 units valued at over $250 million, John was named the regional manager of the Detroit Marcus & Millchap office and successfully oversaw over $4 billion in commercial investment transactions. So thank you so much for being on the show today, John.
Yeah, thanks for having me. No, I appreciate it. Thanks so much.
So it's great to have you on here. I was on your show a couple months back, We recorded it. And it's great to have you on here as a business coach. And before we get into it, can you please share your journey and how you became an expert in business coaching and leadership development?
Yeah, well, I appreciate it. And thanks for having me on the show. It was great having you on mine. I always wanted to be a business coach. I mean, when I was 18, my dad gave me a set of tape sets by Brian Tracy called The Psychology of Success. And I knew at that moment I wanted to coach, be a business coach on multiple levels. And I've since started my coaching company almost 9 years ago. I just launched a second coaching company, which is a platform for 18 to 26 year olds called Launch 3. My business coach company, I work with solopreneurs to Fortune companies and everything in between. And so I always did. So long story short, after I graduated college when I was 18, When I was 23, I started an internet company right out of college with my buddy and my brother. And we ultimately sold that. And then, it was through everything that I kind of learned on my own through these tapes of what I brought to the table from sales perspective, from a business perspective, from a planning perspective. After we sold it, we were partners in that company. And then I got into commercial real estate. I was a broker for 6 years, as you shared, and then I ran the office in Detroit for 6 years. I took over August 4th of 08, the market crashed in September, and then I grew that office to one of the most profitable in the firm of 70 plus offices. After about 6 years of that, I was getting restless. I wanted to start my coaching company, which I wanted to do. As I was getting ready to resign, I got the opportunity to go in-house and restructure a 50-year-old real estate company. I did that, and then I started my coaching company. And so to answer your question, I think my experience came from just being in the trenches and a lot of working. So I studied. I listen every day. I study every day. I do a seminar. I'm listening to something or reading something every day. But I was also then in an environment where I could put it all to life, right? So you read something, and sometimes it's easier to read than it is to actually implement, right? And so through just kind of the day-to-day grind of doing all the things and hiring and growing and retaining and training and evolving and, you know, forecasting and reverse engineering and setting goals, and I just always had a passion for it. And I paid attention and I cataloged and I always built up to this moment. So I kind of knew I wanted to do it and built towards it.
So when you're working with business leaders today, what are the common challenges that business leaders face today, and how do you help them to overcome them?
Yeah, the challenges today are, there's many today. We're in markets that are moving, and so getting their people, their leadership, their managers, and their salespeople, grounded and knowing what they need to do on a day-to-day basis has never been more important. And so from the top down, messaging is so important, to message it to the managers, to message it to the salespeople. Accountability is so important and something that I think people are struggling with today, because people have a shorter attention span. And so I'm a big fan of micro business plans, right? Having an annual plan, but really breaking it down to the week or to the month, whatever is more effective. But really kind of being that mentor, nurturer, authority figure, but not authoritarian, right? Somebody who can, it's so important today to really get to know your people, right? So know what intrinsically drives them, what extrinsically motivates them. So, and then almost treating every single person within the company as kind of its own entity, because each person you want to grow to tap them into their highest potential and then move them there kind of, you know, 0.01% on a consistent basis. So clear messaging, empowering, accountability, helping people find what their do now, do next is so they don't get stuck, and understanding where people's stuck is so you can help them get unstuck.
Yeah, that's great. And one thing you were mentioned there is you kind of talked about a little bit was touched on was the community aspect. And I mean, how in today's businesses do companies of any size like foster community, especially with remote and hybrid working happening all the time?
Yeah. Well, community, I think, starts a lot with the one-on-one connection that people have with their people. And so as a leader today, you know, if you're a leader, if you're a manager of any type of people, it starts with the one-on-one connection, the real relationship where you're driving that person to and holding them accountable, but you understand what personally drives them. And so it's really, really important to have that one-on-one connection. That's where the magic happens. So when you bring them together, you know, they're all in alignment with, because you want to make sure you only have great people and they're all in alignment with your values and your mission and your purpose. And so you can get to know that to make sure you have the right people who are in alignment in the one-on-one. And so it starts with the one-on-one connection. And then when you bring them together, have a purpose, have intent. You know, it takes a lot of time to prep for things when you get people together. And I find that sometimes leaders are not taking enough time to prep. So I look at every meeting, no matter what type of meeting it is, there's kind of the meeting before, there's three meetings in every meeting. There's the meeting before the meeting, and the meeting after the meeting. And the meeting before the meeting, I think a lot of leadership and managers and people of power aren't spending enough time planning what those meetings are. Does everyone at the meeting know why they're coming? Do we have a why behind the meeting? What is the agenda behind the meeting? What do people want to get out of it? Am I preparing them for the meeting? Is there a theme for the meeting? So people come understanding what a meeting is of any type as you bring community together. They understand the why, and then they walk away empowered. So a way to do it when I'm coaching leaders is have a really good understanding, even if you have to talk to a couple people, to find out what do you want to walk away with from X, Y, and Z meeting. You know, so when I do, for example, a keynote of any type, companies hire me to, you know, fly around the country and do trainings and keynotes. But I always say to them, like, okay, this is what you want me to talk about, but I want to talk to 5 or 10 people who are going to be in the room because I want to know what do they want to walk away with. Once I know that, I can curate and customize it so it resonates with them at a deeper level. And so community really takes understanding, preparation, and planning.
Oh, that's a lot of great information. And, you know, with in today's business like landscape with we're constantly evolving. And I mean, how do you stay updated on industry trends? And I mean, what advice do you give to busy business leaders to adapt to change in their business?
There's a great TED talk by Jeff Hoffman, the founder and CEO of Priceline. It's called The Power of Wonder. And one of the things he talks about is every day he does 15 minutes of info sponging, research on everything that doesn't have to do with his industry to kind of pay attention to how it will potentially affect his market, his industry, his customers, et cetera. The number one thing to do is stay educated and stay on top of what's going on in the world. And not just from a market standpoint or an economy standpoint, but really the nuances and trends and understanding what is the ripple effect if that ripple effect comes back to this business. How does it and how will it affect my business? What I'm forecasting with a company, we're always looking at, okay, here we're going to forecast out 12 months, 24 months, 36 months. But what are the headwinds that are going to be taking place in the future that we need to be aware of so we can reverse engineer changes that we need to pay attention to earlier than getting stuck in a reactive space? And so if you're spending time, like Jeff Hoffman talks about, studying not only your industry, but other industries, listening to podcasts, reading articles, periodicals, and listening to your customers and listening to what people are saying and the questions, why people are buying, why people are not buying, why people are not stop, why people stop buying, pause buying, think twice about buying. You know, it doesn't matter what your product or service is, why they will wait longer or shorter, and really paying attention and saying, okay, this is different. This pause is different of why this type of client is doing X. What is the whisper sign there that we need to dive into and extract and reverse engineer? That takes research time, but it also takes quiet and reflection and still time. And it takes time, in my opinion, for companies to sit and carve out time to just brainstorm and think about, you know, the business and have brainstorming sessions where they're just taking something and picking it apart to find the next nuanced piece to keep them one step ahead.
Yeah, that's a lot of great information. I love Jeff Hoffman. He has like such a, if you listen to anything he's done, I mean, he just has a ton of great points. I mean, obviously built to, you know, Priceline, but I remember he was saying something about how they came up with or how it was discovered the like the takeout window, right? The drive-through, and it was taken from banks. You know what I mean? Yeah. So that was someone that was dealing with something that was outside of their industry and then converted it to their industry. And now it's just a normal. If you have a fast food place, people don't want to get, you know what I mean? It's, you need to have it. So it's kind of funny how that changes and how you can adapt that. Over your experience, I mean, what are some of the most important qualities you've seen in entrepreneurs and business leaders? You know, what do they possess, these successful leaders?
Well, they have drive. They have patience. They have stillness infused. They have routines, you know, to kind of bookend their time. They take time for reflection and understand that time to pause and slow down actually speeds them up. They're really good active listeners and reflective listeners, and they're asking sometimes even simple questions to connect with people and get to know people, to uncover things. They can hear and see things that people don't see or hear, and can be very innovative and surround themselves with people who complement them and typically are smarter than them, right? And so it's getting the right team and knowing what your unique ability is. I think an entrepreneur and a leader today, you got to really be in sync with what your unique ability is and surround yourself with people who complement and raise that up. So there isn't competition amongst leaders. Everybody's just kind of doing their unique thing and everybody else is supporting them. And because everybody kind of fills in everything. So everybody rises.
Yeah. It's like also in business partnerships, you don't want to have two people with the same set of skills. It's just
correct.
It's just not going to work. You know what
correct.
I mean? Do you have money sitting in the stock market and you're worried about it? Or worse, you have money sitting at the bank, not keeping up with inflation? My name is Charles Carrillo, founder and managing partner of Harborside Partners. And since 2006, I've been investing my money and my family's money into income producing properties. These are real assets, real properties with real addresses that produce real cash flow. At Harborside Partners, we provide passive investors who love real estate with a turnkey investing solution. If you want to put your money to work in real estate but can't find deals, don't have the time to get funding, and the last thing that productive people want to do is manage real estate. We find the deals, we fund the deals, and we manage the tenants, the termites, and the properties. Partner with us at investwithharborside.com. That's investwithharborside.com. Go to investwithharborside.com. If you love real estate, you like the idea of passive income, and believe that income-producing properties will appreciate over time, go to investwithharborside.com. That's investwithharborside.com.
So
I imagine you were coached when you were in your previous career with everything that you've done. I mean, what should people look for in a business coach if they want to take, their business to the next level?
Yeah. When I was in commercial real estate, it was interesting because I had a business coach. And at the time, the person that I reported to thought it was so ridiculous that I even had a business coach, you know, because their philosophy was, hey, everything you can learn, we're teaching you. And my philosophy was, well, you're only teaching me your perspective. Right. And so there needs to be more perspective. And so when I was in commercial real estate, I actually had two business coaches. I had a business coach and I had a communications coach, because what I recognized, especially as I went from being a broker into leadership, I needed to not only be focused on my business and my own personal goals, but because for me, when I moved into management, I knew I wasn't going to be there my whole life, right? I had other dreams of things that I wanted to do. And so I was always working on the business and doing everything I could to put my 150% into that, but also keeping my own dreams alive at the same time. But I was also in a very corporate, I went from being a broker to a very, you know, corporate environment. And so I needed to learn how to communicate differently with the agents I was leading, communicate with leadership within the company. So I had two different business coaches that I was going to on a regular basis. And what I looked for were people that understood who I was, how I needed to grow, and could see things in me that I couldn't see yet, right? They could bring out more potential in me, that would challenge me and ask me questions that would get me thinking differently. And so that to me was really, really important. And do it in a way that it could be heard and that had my best interest in mind. That was really important to me. And, one of my coaches I was with for 14 years, he unfortunately passed away. The other coach I had, got out of coaching. So, but it was an amazing experience. And I since have, have coaches now, that same thing. It's, can you challenge me? Can you push me to the next level? Can you give me actionable guidance that I can hear, digest, and implement and execute?
So how have you and your students progressed by leaving your comfort zones during your careers?
As far as me, or when you say students, how do you mean?
Like students that you've coached or yourself, I mean, maybe some examples of like how you've gone to the next level and what you're trying to do by getting out of your comfort zone.
Yeah. You know, I feel like lately I'm always out of my comfort zone. And, the day I get comfortable, it's like the next day, all of a sudden I'm kind of like moving myself forward. But I think I guess the best way I can answer that question is, it's my intention to always grow. Right. So some days or some hours, and I think it's for everybody, maybe you can't always quantify it, but if the intention is there to want to grow, then you're always seeking and open for more advice. You surrender to it. And so the clients for myself and the clients that I work with, one of the things I tell them when we start is you need to surrender to the process. You need to surrender to the process. You need to commit. Your intent has to be that you want to grow, because I can do great things. I can help somebody do tremendous things and grow their business, but not if they're closed and don't surrender to the process and aren't open to it. And so the clients that I work with, which are solopreneurs to Fortune companies, executives, managers, salespeople, et cetera, the more open they are, the more aware they are, the more they know they want to grow, the more I can help them and the more they can help themselves. So it really, if you rewind it, it starts with the intent to want to grow, to tap deeper into your highest potential. And that doesn't happen overnight. It doesn't go viral. It's a small compounding thing that happens, one little thing at a time. You know, so for me, when I work with a client, it's typically a 1 to 3 hour deep dive, and then 15 minutes a week or 30 minutes every other week, because we're dripping it, right? Because people can only receive so much at one time. They can only absorb and execute so much at one time. And so if they stay consistent, then they grow.
That's all great information. So you've been successful in what you're doing now and previously what you did. You have a family. So there's more than just business with you. And people always talk about what you do to become successful. I mean, what did you give up to become successful years back when you knew that you had this like calling from to do this with your life?
You know, I think what I don't know if I like the word giving up. I think there's sacrifices and commitments that you make if you want something badly enough. You know, when it came to my internet company, I was working 100 hours a week for, 2 years. And then we sold our company and I think I was working 80 hours a week. When I got into commercial real estate, my son was recently, was born early in that career. And there were, times that I missed him, being put down at night, but, to go to bed. But I can't say I would have done it any differently. My family always comes first, always. But I knew I needed to, learn things and I needed to commit. And for me, I think the real answer for me in that is I've always followed the following quote: success without fulfillment equals failure. So I've always looked for fulfillment. And if I'm fulfilled, I don't feel like I'm giving anything up. I feel like I may be making some sacrifices, but in those sacrifices, I can balance things out, right? And so I can balance out my family time, in different pockets. It may not look 9 to 5 and this and the other, but I can balance it out. But if I'm fulfilled, then my wife, my children are seeing a piece of me that's fulfilled and happy. And that has a big, that has a real positive effect on them. And so for me, I think sacrifice is when you're doing something that you're not fulfilled. I left commercial real estate. I was doing really, really well. I left because I just wasn't fulfilled with it anymore. It wasn't a negative against anything or anyone. It wasn't fulfilling for me anymore. I wanted to start my coaching company. That was fulfilling. And so the only thing I did was maybe didn't move as fast as I would have liked in the moment, but I had to go through the process of walking through what I did to make the ultimate decisions to do. But that my advice is, find fulfillment. And if you're not in fulfillment, find it, set a plan, be patient, and work towards it.
Well, that's a lot of great information there, John. So on that kind of same trajectory there of people wanting professional and personal growth and trying to like reach that, what kind of like strategies or tips can you provide to individuals that they're looking to achieve that, other than what you just described? Is there anything additionally that people might be able to use and implement into their life to get on that track?
Yeah. Get into a routine, have a great morning routine for yourself, and have a great end of day or wind down routine, right? Have a routine where, there's stillness and reflection at some part of your day, even if it's for a minute. Even if your morning routine starts at 5 minutes every morning and 3 minutes at the end of every night, get into a routine where you can control more of your day and your thoughts and slow down and spend time journaling of what you really want in your life, what you really, really want. And then create a micro plan to get it of just what you need to do this week or this day to move 1 millimeter closer to it. And maybe it's 3 years from now, but once you get on the path to fulfillment and you bring something alive and you create it to be something physical, then things will happen. Maybe not in the time frame you want, but it will happen when it's supposed to happen if you keep it alive. Great things can come. The universe will work in alignment with you, but you gotta do the work.
Yeah, no, that's great. It's one of those things where people get overwhelmed, and then I love when I get something down to just a daily and a weekly goals, and then you're not overwhelmed. You know exactly what you need to do to keep that ball moving and start that snowball effect.
Great. Yeah, exactly.
How can our listeners learn more about you, your coaching, your business, John?
They can check out johndwoskin.com, JONDWOSKIN. They can call me on my cell, 248-535-7796, or they can email me at john@johndwoskin.com. And my website is johndwoskin.com.
Fantastic, John. I will put that link and all that information to our show notes. Thank you so much for coming on today and looking forward to connecting with you here in the near future.
Thanks, man. Appreciate you having me on, and I appreciate your listeners. Thanks so much.
Thank you, John. Bye-bye.
Hi, guys. It's Charles from the Global Investors Podcast. I hope you enjoyed the show. If you're interested in getting involved with real estate, but you don't know where to begin, set up a free 30-minute strategy call with me at schedulecharles.com. That's schedulecharles.com. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Global Investor Podcast. If you like the show, be sure to subscribe on iTunes or Google Play to get new weekly episodes. For more resources and to receive our newsletter, please visit globalinvestorpodcast.com. And don't forget to join us next week for another episode.
Nothing in this episode should be considered specific, personal, or professional advice. Any investment opportunities mentioned on this podcast are limited to accredited investors. Any investments will only be made with proper disclosure, subscription documentation, and are subject to all applicable laws. Please consult an appropriate tax, legal, real estate, financial, or business professional for individualized advice. Opinions of guests are their own. Information is not guaranteed. All investment strategies have the potential for profit or loss. The host is operating on behalf of Syndication Superstars, LLC, exclusively.